we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that we are called by your name. We are children of God. Father, tonight, as we look into your word, Father, open to us your word and our understanding by the Spirit of revelation. Help us to see and to understand and grab hold of the truth concerning your kingdom. We give you the glory. We thank you for it, Lord. And we covenant together by your grace. We're going to be doers of what we learn in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Yes. Well, we've been talking about the kingdom of God and some of the laws of the kingdom. Actually, we've talked about one, the law of faith. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, we'll pick back up where we left off last week. And maybe do just a little bit of review. We left off last week in Mark 11, 23. Let's read those two verses. We'll review a little bit and then we'll move along. In verse 22, we'll pick it up there. Jesus said, "Have faith in God," or "have the faith of God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." Now, these are the words of Jesus, the Son of God. These are the most important words anybody has ever uttered, revealing to us the law of faith, or this principle of faith that's used in the kingdom of God. Now, remember what we said. Notice what he said here. He said, faith is released, what? By saying it. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say." It's very important. You know, if you read that in the King James version, the version Paul wrote, is that you will have to think about and really school yourself three times as much about the saying part as about the believing part. Most of us have been taught to believe. If we're Christians, we're taught to believe. Believing's of the heart. It's of the heart. We believe. Most of us have very strong beliefs. We believe in the heart. But belief in the heart is like money in the bank. It's a good thing to have, but it doesn't do you any good until it's spent. Isn't that right? You got to write the check, or you got to make the withdrawal. And Jesus said the way that you make the withdrawal of your believing is that you what? You say to the mountain. Now we, for the most part, and rightly so, but we've been taught one side of this, and that is to pray. Every problem we've been taught to pray about it, and it's good to pray about your problem. But notice Jesus said here, he said you need to speak to the mountain. In other words, speak to the problem. What is the problem? What is the situation that's facing you? Jesus said, here's what you do. You take your belief that's on the inside of you, and when you speak it out your mouth, something happens. It goes from believing to faith. From believing to faith. It's kind of like, it's kind of like water. You put water on the stove, H2O, it's a liquid. You turn the heat up, though, and what'll happen? It'll turn to steam, won't it? And its essential qualities, it's still the same, but yet it's different, doesn't it? I mean, water just passively sitting there has maybe a lot of potential in it, but once it's heated up and steam is released, there is a power that's released with that, isn't there? And so we can believe in our heart, but it's not until we what? Say something with our mouth that the power is released. And we talked about that last time. So he said, if you will say, now notice he said this, and I love it when Jesus talks like this. He said, "Whosoever." Hallelujah. Yeah. I like what one guy said, "Whosoever meaneth me." Whosoever includes me. Whosoever includes you. If you're a whosoever, then Jesus said it'll work for you. It's the thing I like about God. He's no respecter of persons. This is why we talk about it being a law or a principle, because it will work for anyone. And it's a law of the kingdom. Faith is the coinage of the kingdom of God. And faith, remember we said, faith connects our need to God's resource. It connects us to God's resource because in heaven, God's got everything you need. In that realm, everything you need. That's why the Bible says, Paul wrote and he said, "My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory." Amen. Well, you know, that's great, but how do we get it from glory to here? Well, the principal way is something called faith. And so we talked about it. So that we have to, I said this, we must learn to say just as we've learned to pray. Now, we've been taught to pray, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. We've been taught to pray, and when we pray, to believe God. But here's the thing. Jesus said you need to also learn how to say. Amen? Some things need to be prayed about. Other things, you just need to say it. Amen? Amen? If it's a promise that Jesus has already provided for you, we don't have to pray about that. We can just receive it. We can just speak God's promise. We need to just say to the mountain. If it's a mountain of sickness, it's a mountain of lack. If it's whatever it is, a mountain of fear, whatever it is, you speak to that thing. You speak the word of God over it. Amen? Remember, then we looked at Romans 10. Why don't you turn over there? We'll hook Romans 10 up with this. Now, I know when we talk about receiving and doing this in faith about other things other than maybe salvation, if we haven't been taught, our mind is kind of like, well, I don't know about this. I don't know. But let's look at it, because how many would agree? Salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, being born again, becoming a child of God, how many of you would agree with me that's the greatest thing you'll ever receive from God? Nothing greater than that. Isn't that right? So if we receive the greatest, if we can see the scriptures teach us we receive the greatest gift of God this way, then how much more these lesser ones? Isn't that true? So let's look here at Romans 10. We're just kind of reviewing, but that's all right. There's been a little water under our bridge since last week. So we can review. It's good. Notice, and we'll pick it up in verse 8. It says, but what does it say? He's talking about the word of God. The word is near you. It is in your mouth, notice, and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now notice verse 10. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now notice, both those things are important. You have to believe in your heart to be justified, but he said you got to confess with your mouth to be saved. So you see the dual action there of believing, but then confessing your faith. And if both are not present, then you don't get it. You don't get it. You're not saved just because you believe in your heart. The Bible, if you go on and read, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Boy, there's no greater belief or knowing that God is real than if you talk to Satan. I mean, he can tell you. Man, I know. He was created by God. He knows that. So, but here's the thing. His knowing that doesn't do him any good. That's right. And see, here's the same thing's true with us. I've talked to people and they say, well, God knows I'm believing. Well, that's great, but you need to take the next step. Believe with your heart and what? He said, and confess with your mouth, you shall be what? Saved. So if this is the way we get God's, the greatest gift we'll ever get from God, how much more will it work on things that are not as important in the eternal view of things, but necessarily are important in this life? Isn't that right? Amen. Sure, it's important. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have made it, wouldn't have gave it to you. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter 3:4. We'll look at one more thing here, review wise, and then we'll move on. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Because he talks about believing with the heart. What does it mean to believe with the heart? When the Bible says the heart, it's not talking about the physical organ that pumps your blood. That's not the heart he's talking about here. He's talking about the inner man. Remember, the Bible teaches us that we are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Remember that? With the spirit, we contact God in the spiritual realm. With the soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, we contact the intellectual and emotional realm. And, of course, with the physical, we know what that is. We contact the physical world, don't we? And so when he says to believe with the heart, let's clarify it here. Peter clarifies it that he's talking about what? He's talking about that inward man, that spirit man. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, he's talking about here. He said, instead, well, let's back up to verse 3. He said, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold finery and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self or your inner man, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So here Peter's saying, what is the heart? It is that inner man. It is the spirit man. It is that part of you that is made in the image and likeness of God. And so when he says, if you believe in your heart, he's talking about what? The inner man. Faith is of the spirit. Believing is from the inner man. You don't believe God with your mind. Now, maybe I'll help somebody here. See, now here's the thing. People struggle in this area because they don't distinguish between spirit, soul, and body. All right? You don't believe with your mind and your reasoning. People told me, well, I don't want to say that I'm believing because if I said I was believing, you know, I'd be lying because what? They have doubts in their head. Well, here's the thing. The doubt that's in your head doesn't have to affect the faith that's in your heart unless you allow it to. What do you allow to govern your mouth? What do you allow to govern your obedience or your actions? If it is the mind and the reasoning, then doubt will defeat you. You know why? Because you'll keep faith bottled up. The Bible says you've been given a measure of faith. It's in there. But if you keep it bottled up, just like if you keep all your money in the bank and you never spend any of it, you never withdraw it, you never write a check, you never do any of that, you could die with $1 million in the bank. Starved to death. And the same thing is true. You can go down and be defeated in life because what? You allow what? The doubt of the reasoning in the mind and your will to be the governing influence of your life. Now, we've been taught in our culture that this thing is superior. I'm talking about in American culture, Western culture. We've been taught the mind is the most superior, the most dependable, the most important part to making decisions and guiding your life. Come on. And when we talk about this thing about the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, or allowing things of the Spirit to govern you, most people will look at you like, oh boy, this guy's wacko. Yeah, he's gone off the deep end now. But you know what? The only reason we've allowed our minds and all to control us is because at the fall of man, what? We were separated from God. We were separated from God. So our spirit separated from God, and therefore what? Our mind became the chief ruler or governor of our life. And of course, in our society, we've cultivated our mind and yet not cultivated our spirit. Now, I believe in cultivating your mind. That's a good thing. But how much, if cultivating our mind brings such wonderful benefits, how much more to cultivate our spirit? Isn't that true? We educate our minds, and that's a good thing. But we need to also learn, as Christians, how to educate our spirit. And part of what we're talking about here of learning how to use faith and the laws of the kingdom is educating our spirit. Because remember, we said the laws of the kingdom of God, is supernatural. What does that mean? That doesn't mean... No, that just means it's greater than the laws of the spirit are stronger, superior, greater than the natural. Isn't that what Jesus proved? How do you walk on water in the natural? You sinketh or you swim. One of the two, but you don't walk, do you? No. So what? That had to be what? Something there that was superseding the laws that usually govern most of us. Isn't that right? Either sinking or swimming. Isn't that true? Same thing with the little boy's lunch. You have all these people, 5,000 people, besides women and children, and you've got a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread. You're not going to feed everybody. How did he do that? How did he multiply that? Something what? Supernatural took place, didn't it? And so all we're saying is, instead of, and most of us look at the spirit world and we think that a miracle is just an accident. We don't know how it happened. We don't know that you can know how it happened. We don't think you can figure it out. You just happen to be one of the lucky ones. God felt like doing something, so we did it, and that's about all we can tell you. Could you imagine trying to get somebody saved that way? Somebody says, well, how do you get saved? Well, we don't know how that happens. It just seems like God wants to save people, and sometimes people get saved, and sometimes they don't, and you just got to hope that you're one of the lucky ones. Wouldn't that be something? But listen, the new birth, it's just as supernatural as walking on water. It's just as supernatural as the multiplication of food. Isn't that true? But yet we can explain that to people. And we say, you know, you can receive this miracle on purpose. All you got to do is what? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. But yet when we get over here and talking about something else, about believing in your heart and confess with your mouth on purpose, people think you're wacko. Wonder why that is. This doesn't seem to add up to me. You know, it's just the way we've been taught, isn't it? Or maybe sometimes we haven't been taught. So if it'll work on that which is the greatest, it'll certainly work on that over here in these other areas, won't it? And all we've got to do is what? Do like it says here in Romans, we've got to what? Hear what God's will is. Did you know the way to, you don't receive from God, you know, because you just know that God has power. How many believe God can do anything? You know, everybody believes that. That don't mean you're getting anything from God. Why? Because receiving faith is not based on the fact that you know God has power. Faith is based on what is God's will. Isn't that right? I could be a multi-billionaire, but that doesn't mean you'd have any faith that I'm going to give you a dollar. Does it? I mean, you might know. I might could present documentation, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get anything. But if you knew I was a multi-billionaire and I said, I want to give you $10,000, then all of a sudden you got something to base some faith on, don't you? Why? I've expressed a will. Then what is that book you have in your lap there? Isn't it called a New Testament? A will? It's God's will? Isn't that right? It's amazing to me. We have a written document, and yet there's so much speculation about, well, I don't know if God wants to do this or not. Read the will. Just read the will. That's all you got to do. Man, if you had a rich, rich millionaire relative that died, and the lawyer contacted you and said, You need to come down. You've been named as a beneficiary. We want you to come down such and such a date for the reading of the will. Now, what would you do? Well, I can't make it. I got to cut the grass that day. I don't think so. I think you'd make time, wouldn't you? Sure you would. And when they read the will there, it wouldn't matter how you felt. It wouldn't matter how you were dressed. It wouldn't matter about any of the external things. Once they read the will that said he left you $100,000, guess what you get? It doesn't matter if the lawyer don't think you deserve it. It don't matter if your in-laws are against it. If it's in the will, it's settled, isn't it? And so here's the thing. If it's in the will, guess what? That's where faith comes. That's why he said faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word, or we could say it this way, hearing by the will of God. And I'm so glad God wrote his will down so we don't have, you know, everybody's opinion. Amen? I mean, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't have to let your opinion rob me of God's will. God, rob me of God's blessing. Isn't that true? All right. So we want to continue talking about this. We want to talk about, again, turn back to Mark 11:23. So we're just kind of reviewing a little bit. Now we're going to pick it back up. And we want to talk again some more. I want to get into this a little bit more about releasing or turning your faith loose, because this is where people miss it. This is where people miss it. They don't miss it in believing. Most Christians, man, I'm telling you what. I'm speaking figuratively, but, you know, you could cut their head off before they'd stop believing. I mean, they're strong believers. They believe, man. They believe. You know, if you could just learn how to release some of that believing and turn it into faith, I'm telling you what, you'd be something else for God. What a demonstration of God's grace would be seen in your life. Isn't that true? is just to release it. Because what is the, in all of the universe, in all natural creation as well as spiritual, you know, what is the worst thing that you can think of? For me, it's this, that somebody would have all of this resources and yet keep it to themselves. Isn't that true? Never release it for the benefit of anybody else. Never release it for that. And you know what? God, in the person of Jesus, He came down to say, listen, here I am, I'm God Almighty, I possess everything, I own everything, but I am not keeping it to myself. I want to release it to bless you. Why would we fight that? Why would we get all uptight, you know, in our religious circles about that? Why would we want to say, well, I just think God's a skinflint. He don't want you to have too much. Too much is not good for you. Well, He should have thought about that before He created eternal life. Because that's a long time, best I can understand. Isn't that right? And of course, we understand this too. Eternal life is not only duration, but it's also quality. It's not only quantitative, it's qualitative, isn't it? Because I sure don't want to live forever in hell. Because the quality there, as I understand from the Scriptures, is not good. Isn't that right? So it's not just the quantity, it's the quality of it. And God has released that to us. And He said, now here's the way you receive it. You receive it by faith so that it won't be by works, so that no one can brag that I earned this. Therefore, God gets all the praise. You get the benefit, He gets the praise. You get the blessing, He gets the glory. If you just keep that straight, you know, you'll be all right. You know, leave the glory to God, and God will leave the blessing to you. Because He don't need the blessing. He's already blessed. For lack of a better way to put it, you understand what I mean. Back to Mark 11:23. Jesus again. I want to read this because some of us, it may be old hay, but for some of us, it may be new. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So Jesus put not only the importance on believing, but he said, here's the thing. The mountain does not move until your mouth is in motion. Amen. And now what is it? He never said anything about the mountain moving just by believing. Now believing has its point, place. That's the starting place. But he says the mountain's not moved until your mouth is in motion. You've got to say something. So here, we could look at it this way. It's kind of like, if you will, it's a crude illustration, but follow me with this. It's kind of like if you're out hunting and you have a gun and it's loaded, there is potential power in that weapon. Isn't that right? But listen, how is that potential released? It's when you squeeze a real small thing called a trigger. Isn't that right? You know, anybody that's old enough with enough strength to pull that trigger, I mean, that gun is going to go off. It doesn't matter whether it's aimed right or wrong. Doesn't matter whether the person's young and doesn't know what they're doing or somebody's doing something on purpose. I mean, you pull the trigger, the gun's loaded, the power's going to be released. Isn't that right? And so in the same way, believing is like the potential of that weapon. And when we confess it, it's like pulling the trigger. And Jesus was saying no power is released till the trigger is pulled. In other words, we got to say something. You got to say something. And here's the thing. He said, when you say it, now don't be, you know, like a small child who would abuse a weapon without knowing it and just shoot anywhere. He says, aim it specifically at the target. Which is what? The mountain. Whatever the mountain is. He said, aim it at it. Then pull the trigger. Amen. He says, aim it at it. What is it what's coming against you? What is it that's bugging you? What is it that is the mountain? Then he said, get your believing ready. You got it loaded. You got the word of God in. You got believing going. He said, now, pull the trigger by speaking the word to the mountain. He said, you release it. This is what we've got to learn to do. We've got to teach ourselves to do. And I want to tell you something. Your mind will fight you every inch of the way. Your mind says it's the craziest thing I ever heard of. This ain't making no difference. You're a nut. You have just gotten brainwashed. You're just, I mean, you're out of left. You're beyond left field. You're out past Pluto. I mean, you're out there. Yeah, I mean, you know, your mind will fight you. Because, see, mental words and spirit words are two different words. Now, I'm not trying to get real deep or anything here, but we got to learn, don't we? And here's the thing. Jesus said, the words that I speak, speaking of Jesus, you know, he's saying, the words that I speak, they are what? They are spirit. They are spirit. He didn't say they were mental. He said they were spirit. They are life. What's the difference between the words in this book and the words in other books? They are spirit. They're God-breathed. Therefore, they are spirit. And they are life. Words are containers. Anybody got a pantry or something you use for a pantry at home? Got some canned goods and different things up there, you know? They're all containers, aren't they? You look at one, it says, you know, dried beans or black beans. Or you look at another one, it says carrots on it. Every one of those are containers. And, you know, you look at that thing and you know exactly what's in it. You open those containers up and guess what? Dun-dun-dun-dun, there it is. Beans, carrots, whatever it is. But you know what? If the food stays in the can, in the pantry, what good does it do you? You got to open the can up, don't you, and empty it. And see, the same thing, we talked about this, God's word is spirit and life. There is faith in this word. There is love in this word. There is life in this word. There's all of the things, the nutrients of the kingdom of God, of the life of God are in that word. And he says, if you will read it, if you will speak it, if you will meditate on it, it's like opening up those cans and you begin to ingest. And he said, when you ingest it, just like you ingest natural food, and it's going to give you what? Natural strength. When you ingest God's word, which is spirit and life, you're going to get what? Spiritual energy. And part of that is faith. That's faith. That's why I said we have to feed our faith. Feed your spirit. See, most of us, how does your mind get stronger and more developed? You feed it. Isn't that right? See, you feed your mind on junk. Guess what? Your mind's going to what? It's going to think junk, isn't it? You know? Because essentially, the mind really is a computer. You know? Used to, in the early days of the computers, remember, they used to have a thing in, they call it garbage in, garbage out. Remember that? Garbage in, garbage. That's it. That's what your brain, your physical brain, it is a computer. And here's the thing, what are you feeding into? What are you programming in there? Okay, depending on what you program in there, it will either be an assistant to your spirit or it will be an obstacle to your spirit. Romans 12, Paul put it this way. He said, be renewed, in your mind. He said, let your mind become renewed. Don't be transformed, but be renewed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, this is what, you know, our mind is what gets in the way of our spirit. And things like faith, things like love, things like joy, all those things that are of the spirit. We're talking about faith right now. And see, if your mind's not renewed, it'll fight you. When you begin to speak to the mountain, your mind will tell you, you are a raving lunatic. You're crazy. That ain't going to, you think that's going to matter? That ain't going to make no difference. You're speaking that. That's silly. That's just some of that old Pentecostal gobbledygook stuff. Listen, I know. Your brain. So you have to what? You have to train your brain. You train your brain. How did it get the way it is now? You trained it. Yeah, don't get mad at God. You trained it. Here's it. Believing, listen, put it this way. Believing is passive, but faith is active. Believing is passive, but faith is active. You know? You know, there is You know, it's just like they talk about in the physical. There's energy in motion, energy at rest, isn't there? Same thing with this. Believing is what? Faith at rest. It's just there. It's there. It's real. But it's not active. It's not released. It's not working. It's not doing anything. But all of a sudden, when we begin to speak the Word of God, this is why I'm saying, speak God's Word. Don't, you know, I know some people, they only hear sometimes part of what you say. And they say, oh, well, you know, the pastor said, whatever I say, I can have. That's not what I said, and that's not what Jesus said. He said, whatever you say, believing. Well, where does faith come, though? I said, where does faith come from? It comes from God's Word. You can't get it. You can't have faith outside of this book and it work. So if you're saying something that doesn't agree with God's Word, that's not a promise from God, that God hadn't provided in the will, then I'm going to tell you what, you are out beyond left field, and you are going to get into a mess, and you're not going to receive what you wanted. Hello? I can't say, well, you know what? I want Jamie's car. I confess his car is now mine. You knucklehead. That's not what we're talking about. That's coveting, exactly. But, you know, I say this because sometimes people don't hear everything you say. And they just want to go, well, you know, they want to go by and, you know, they're going to claim somebody's house or something, you know, or all kinds of crazy stuff. That's not what we're saying. Okay? We're talking about what? This is why you got to get in the book. That way you won't get off into all these crazy stuff. But here's the thing, we're not going to, as the old saying is, we're not going to throw out the baby along with the bathwater, are we? Amen? People have gotten to error about other things, but, you know, we don't throw out the truth just because someone took it to an extreme. So we say that so that we understand that. Now, confessing. What do we mean by confessing? Confession is declaring something we know to be true. What from this book you know to be true? That God says about you. You know, one of the first things we ought to be confessing is what we call who we are in Christ. Isn't that right? You go through the scriptures and you find the in Him, in whom, in Christ. And you find those scriptures. You know what? That's talking about you. That's talking about me. And we need to begin to confess that over us instead of confessing all this stuff our mind wants to say. You're a loser. Your whole family was a loser. Your mom told you you were a loser. And look at you. You're a loser. Well, where does it say that in the scriptures? You ever see where Jesus walked up to somebody and said, hey, loser? No, he didn't do that, did he? No, it's who we are in Christ. That's what we want to begin to speak over ourselves. That's how we want to begin to see ourselves. And we begin to speak that. So part of this confession, this speaking, okay, is going to have to be what? Something we know to be true. What do you know to be true? Well, God's Word's true, isn't it? So if I speak this, I know I'm going to always be on good ground. And I speak this Word. The Bible says, if any man, woman, person be in Christ, anybody here in Christ? You are a brand new creation. Brand new creation. Old things, all the old things have passed away. What do we know? Isn't that a nice word when we say passed away? We know it means dead. Old things are dead. The old life is dead. And behold, all things, everybody say all things, have become new. New. That's what we should be saying over ourselves. I'm a new creation. Now, your mind's going to tell you, you're a knucklehead, you aren't. Look at you. See, that's the outward man. But the Bible says the inward man is made brand new. And not only that, he said that inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. I'm not one day older on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This outward man may need glasses, but the inward man's doing fine. Amen. Confession is proclaiming a truth we have accepted wholeheartedly. Now here's a real key to strong faith is you have to be fully persuaded. In Romans 4, talking about Abraham, Remember, he talks about Abraham over there. And Abraham is called what? The father of faith. Are you listening? Jesus said this about Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Wow. Man, that's some insight, isn't it? Because Jesus was born many, many centuries after Abraham. But by faith, Abraham saw something. And he became fully persuaded concerning what God's promised to him. About, you know, about Isaac. He was going to have an heir. And the same thing is true about you and I. We have to become fully persuaded. You know, I heard a guy say years ago, and there's a lot of truth to this. He said if Christians would start believing their Bible the way they believe the news they hear, and start believing the news the way they've embraced the Bible, they'd be a lot better off.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but that's true in some cases, isn't it? You hear some guy, you don't know anything about his integrity. You don't know where he got his facts or who got the facts for him. He's sitting behind a desk and a camera's on him and he's speaking something, and somehow we've associated that with the gospel. But we don't know anything about him. We don't know if he's trustworthy. We don't know if he's biased. We don't know if he's prejudiced. We don't know if he got his facts straight. We don't know about any of that. Well, my goodness. We know that God, what? God doesn't lie. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
God is good. God is love.
Yes.
God is merciful. We know all the good truths about God. Why are we straining over this? Isn't that true? Maybe, just maybe it's because we don't know him as well as we need to yet. You may be saved, but maybe you don't know him as well. That's what fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Were people martyrs? Were people willing to lay down their life for this book? They were fully persuaded. And if you and I, what we confess, we've got to become fully persuaded. I am persuaded. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was so persuaded, he said, that to die and be with Christ is far better. That's fully persuaded, isn't it? And so we need to be fully persuaded, just like you're fully persuaded about heaven. Bless God, I got news for you. I ain't going nowhere else but there. I ain't got no other plans, no other reservations. That's where I'm headed. I'm going to heaven. You know? I'm fully persuaded. Well, we can be just as fully persuaded that God wants me well in my body. That God wants me blessed. In other words, he wants to meet all my needs here and for me to have enough to help other people and to fund the gospel. What's the big deal about that? That's not a big deal, is it? You know, babies might fight over toys, but we oughtn't to. Isn't that right? We ought to be mature enough that we can handle a few dollars. It's not going to all of a sudden turn us into Simon Legree. Are we going to fight because he got five more dollars than I did? God, help us, Lord. Listen. All right, so confessing our redemption. Ephesians 1. Turn over there. Is this helping you any? I know, you know, it may not be new to us, but it's good to be reminded, and it might. Sometimes we get little glimpses here that's a little bit different than what we've seen before. Ephesians 1. Verse 7, it says, in him, this is speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he, I love this, lavished on us. Don't you love that word, lavished? What does that conjure to you when you say lavished? If we said, you know, so-and-so, man, they just bought a new house, and they have furnished it lavishly. What does that bring in mind to you? I mean, oh, well, you know, you go in there, and the mattress, you expect the mattress is going to be on the floor, and I got a couple of apple crates for lavish. The reason I'm saying I'm using something natural to relate this, but he says God's grace has been lavished on you. It's not just enough. It's lavished. Does somebody need a gold chandelier? Probably not. But we look at that and we say, man, that's lavish, wouldn't we? Think about heaven. Streets are gold there. That's lavish. If that's the streets, can you imagine what the houses look like? Can you imagine what the suit's going to look like you're going to be wearing? Glory to God. Man, what the furnishings in those houses going to look like if you're walking on God? That's lavish. See, here's the thing. When there's, in this world, remember we talked about this before, we have a scarcity view. The mentality is scarcity. Scarcity means it's valuable. You know? And listen, if iron was more scarce than gold, we'd be fighting over that. Isn't that true? But here's the thing. With the abundance of everything, you know, all of a sudden, what? It doesn't become so important, does it? And see, in God's economy, everything is lavish. In a world where everybody is a trillionaire, what's the big deal? You going to get up and blow your horn? I'm a trillionaire. Big deal. No, listen, we all are children of God. He's lavished his grace upon us all. This is what we should be confessing about his redemption. Notice what he says here. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. How did he make it known? Right here. And by the Spirit. Isn't that right? And so we need to what? Confess. What has God done for us? Well, I'm going to tell you what. All my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. The Bible says that it is not God. Is it God that condemns? No, it's God that justified. God will never condemn me. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from fear. I'm free from condemnation. I'm free from the wrath and the judgment of God. All the blessings of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen to me. This is what we need to be speaking. Amen. Not what Billy Bob said on the night news about something that he's not even sure about himself. Isn't that true? You hear the pundits and they don't know what... I mean, they don't know any more than we do. I mean, you know, I can look at a red elephant and tell you it's red, but that don't help us get him out of the room. You know, and that's the way they are. Everybody's talking about the elephant in the room. Well, okay. We all see the elephant. Isn't that true? So here's the thing. Faith, again, what? What do you believe? What are you fully persuaded about on the inside in your spirit man? See, some people have talked themselves so long, their doubts and fears and what all other people are saying for so long, they are fully persuaded about it. They're fully persuaded that they're a loser, that they're a failure, that they can't do anything right, that they'll never get ahead in life, and that nothing will work out for them. They persuaded themselves of that. Are you listening? And if that's your starting point, that can be a difficult thing to overcome. But I got good news for you. You can do it because you got the helper, the greater one, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of you, and he will guide you into all truth. Amen. About who you are. You know? Anybody ever heard of the Superman? You know, the comic book guy? Anybody? Yeah. Figure probably not. Well, you know, he had to find out who he was. You know, he had to find out. Hey, all of a sudden, hey, I can see through things. Wow. Hey, all of a sudden, I can fly through the air. Wow. And you know, here's the thing, as Christians, I know it's silly, but as Christians, remember he said, all things have become new. Well, if they become new, that means you might not know them all yet. Isn't that right? You might have things going for you don't know about yet, because they're what? They're new. They're not the old. They're new. And you might be like Superman, you might all of a sudden discover, hey, woo, man, I didn't know. Man, God, you did that? You did that for me? You've promised that to me, little old unknown, vanilla, plain old, everyday me? Yeah. Isn't that true? And you know, people may look at you and think, oh, there's Clark Kent. But oh boy, you know different. Everybody know who Clark Kent was? That was his alter ego, wasn't it? So I can't, but listen. You, who you are in Christ, Find out, what is the redemption? What has God done for you? We're still talking about the laws of the kingdom, but here's the thing. We got to put them in motion, because this is the way you're going to live now. This is the way God expects you to live now. You're not going to live that old life anymore. That's dead. You got to live a new life. You got a new spiritual life. You got a higher supernatural life. You're going to live in that. But if we don't know, you know what we do? We go back and we revert back, you know, to what that old flesh has been trained. Isn't that true? Whatever it is, envy, strife. You know, he lists the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. You know them over there. What is all that? That all that, you know what that's telling us? Is that we haven't learned what the new life is. We hadn't really learned who we are. We haven't been speaking our faith. We haven't been speaking the word over us. So we're living in that old, you know, we're living all the time like Clark Kent. Man, you need to get your duds on, your Superman suit on. I know that's silly, but you'll remember it. Isn't that right? And then, you know, confessing who we are. I mean, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I mean, man, you got a dynamo on the inside of you. The Spirit of God that created the worlds is on the inside of you.
Amen.
If you go back over there to Genesis 1, you know, over there it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, over chaos, and when God said something, hallelujah, something happened. What is it? When we say something, we're not talking about Christian magic, we're talking about the kingdom. When you speak out words of faith, guess what? The Spirit of God is there to grab hold of that.
Amen.
If that's for me, tell them I'll call them back. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? We're not talking about magic powers. We're talking about something that's real. You speak that word out, what happens? The Spirit of God is there. Faith is the substance. Amen. No creation took place till God said something and the Spirit was present. You read it over there in Genesis. And so he says, you begin to what? Release faith. Speak what God says. And then you'll begin, by the Holy Spirit, it will begin to be a reality in your life. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Man, if you want to stay the same, what do you need hope for? Isn't that right? If you're just going to stay the same old person and same old thing, well, what do you need any hope for? Isn't that right? Hope is what? It's looking out there with expectancy. Hope is that things can change and get better and be different. And isn't that right? He said, God says, faith is going to give substance to that. In other words, God wants your hope become reality. It's not the old carrot and the stick. You know, you've seen the old story, you know, with the mule or the horse, you know, and they got the stick out with the apple and it's just out of his reach. And he keeps walking toward it thinking, next step I'm going to get. That's not what God has in store. That's not what hope is about. God says, I want the hopes to become reality. And faith is what does that. Let me get back here. Listen, in Galatians, turn over there. You're close. Galatians. Just hang a left from Ephesians and you're at Galatians 3. 3, read two verses here. Faith is also what? Confessing our inheritance. Go back to my illustration a minute ago before we read this verses here. You know, you went to the reading of that rich relative. Remember that? And you heard him, you know, and they read in there, it left you $100,000. Well, you know, at the time of the reading of the will, you know, the lawyer's not going to reach in his pocket and hand you over a stack of bills. But you know what? When you leave that thing,
yeah.
Guess, you know, and you get on that phone, man, you're going to be hitting that speed dial, aren't you? Woo! Well, maybe not. You might not want to rub this snow. I don't know. But there'll be somebody you'll want to share it with. And you may not have seen one George Washington, and you're going to be telling people, man, I just got $100,000. I got $100,000. What do you mean you got $100,000? How do you know? I just came from the reading of my rich uncle's will, and he left me $100,000. Hey, I want to come over and see it. Well, I ain't got it with me. Isn't that right? And see, as we read God's will, what? It's about our inheritance. God says, okay, this is what I've left you. Now, you begin to speak that. Galatians 3, look at here, verse 7. It says, well, let's back up to verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe, those who are of faith, are the children of Abraham. Now, skip right down there to verse 29, the last one, verse in that chapter. If you belong to Christ, anybody in here belong to Christ? Then you are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. You ought to go back over there and see what he promised to his seed. And heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. That's, you know, we ought to be speaking over our lives, you know, what is our inheritance?
Yes, that's right.
You know, it's amazing to me as Christians, and I'm speaking generally, I'm not specifically speaking about you, but as a whole in Christendom, is that we speak everything but what God said. And then when we find somebody speaking what God said to speak, we think they're a nut. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Are they crazy? Crazy, blab it and grab it and claim it and name it and all that kind of bunch. Oh God. You know? And it's always easy to just kind of, you know, just kind of pass over something like that and make trite of it, because here's the thing. If by doing that, then I can not have to take up any responsibility. I don't have to do anything with my faith. I don't have to do anything with it. You know why it's so easy for most Christians, true Christians, to believe that their sins are forgiven, that they're a child of God, and they're going to a place called heaven that they've never seen? You know why? Because they've heard it so much. They've heard it and 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 heard it. Come on. And nobody gets upset if somebody comes up here and talks about being born again. But you get up here and you do two services in a row where you talk about that in relation to money, and people get all mad. You're just way over the top, preacher. You're talking about money all the time. Well, you're talking about it at home. We might as well talk about it right. Isn't that right? Instead of you fretting and worrying and arguing and fussing because you ain't got enough, isn't it better to find out what God says about it and release our faith and let faith connect us to God's resources? And then you know what? You won't have to spend any time at all talking about it. You know, and most of the time, if we just obey God in the church, you wouldn't have to mention it. I don't care to mention the money. If everybody just obeyed God, I'd never have to say a word. Hello? If everybody obey God with their giving, everybody obey God with their praying, everybody obey God with their serving, I never mention any of those three topics. We just move on to something else. Isn't that right? Sure. Anybody have children? Where they're grown or whatever? Amen? Anybody have to potty train those children? Can you remember back to that? You know? Well, here's the thing. How long did they stay in diapers? Until they were what? Potty trained. Isn't that right? More or less. Until they were potty trained. Isn't that right? Once they're potty trained, they don't need the diapers anymore. Isn't that true? That's what we need to understand. If we grow up, it may be that some of the things we need to teach you, we wouldn't have to teach you again. Remember, we talked about that in Hebrews. He said, the time has come for you that we want to teach you some deeper things. He said, you're not able to receive it. We got to go back and teach you the basic principles again. Everybody said, oh, we want to get on to deeper things. Well, we got to grab a hold of the basics first. If you can't learn the Christian alphabet, there's no use us trying to, you know, teach you how to read and write. Isn't that true? So, you know, instead of us fussing because we don't like, you know, this meal or that meal, why don't we get into the Word for ourselves and begin to what? Release our faith and see ourselves grow. Grow in our understanding of God's will, of God's inheritance, God's blessing. Amen. You know what? I find out most of the time, you know, there's not a problem in releasing when I have enough. I mean, look at the current situation. That's true economically in the natural. They'll tell you, man, charitable giving has gone where? Why? Times are tough. See? Having less doesn't make you a bigger giver. It doesn't make you more spiritual. Amen? But when you, listen, when you have an abundance, guess what? It's the easiest thing in the world to give. Isn't that right? Come on. So here's the thing. He says, you're heirs. Notice what he said here. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, what did God promise Abraham? He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Isn't that right?
That's right.
You know, you can't be a blessing till you're blessed. Whether it's spirit, whether it's financial, whatever it is. Isn't that right? You got to have something in order to give it. You can't give what you don't have. So as we discover who we are in Christ, as we discover our inheritance, as we release our faith and connect to the resources, and they begin to be a reality, our hopes begin to have substance given to them by the faith of God that He's given us, then all of a sudden, what? There begins an overflow of peace, of joy, of love, of faith, of mercy, of money. I'll put it at the bottom. You see that? Oh. Listen, what is our confession? It's agreeing with God. Faith, if you really want to put it right down to it, faith is agreeing with God, isn't it? It's agreeing with God. God said it. I believe it. What? That settles it. I'm just agreeing with God. I mean, isn't it true? You get around the water cooler or wherever at work or you're on the job site or wherever and people start talking. They're going to talk about what they heard somebody say on MSNBC or CNN or Fox News or something. Isn't that right? They're going to quote President Obama or some of the, you know, or some Republican or whoever it is that you listen to. But, you know, everybody's quoting somebody, aren't they? So-and-so said. Well, why don't we just quote somebody that is authoritative? Let's just quote and agree with what God said. Well, this is what God said next time they start talking about. Well, that's interesting. You know what God said about that? You'll get a look, but that's okay. They can talk about what Doodah said on the pundit show. You can talk about what God said. What God said has stood the test of time, hasn't it? I mean, down through the millennia, God's word has stood. You know, most of the people that we're quoting, you know, they're changing their story before the week's out. Why? Because one thing, and I'm not being critical, well, usually it's because what? They didn't have all the facts. But we go around talking as if they did. So let's build our life on something more permanent, something greater, something that is super above the natural. We're talking about the law of faith, agreeing with God. Let me read just one more verse here, and we'll stop for tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Verse 18, he said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen. We fix our eyes where? Not on what is seen. But where are most people fixing their eyes? You say, how do you know? Listen to them talk. You can always locate people by their talking. Isn't that right? You can tell whether they're full of fear or doubt or worry. And you can tell where they're fixing their eyes, on the circumstance. He said, we do not fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is what? Temporary. In other words, subject to change, like Florida weather. Subject to change. That's what temporary means, is subject to change. Isn't that right? But what is unseen is eternal. Faith is the evidence of things not. In other words, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. I've got proof. What's your proof, my faith? It's evidence. You know, and so I'm speaking the evidence. I've just come from the reading of the wheel. Hallelujah. In this case, we had a rich brother that died. Of course, the good thing is he was resurrected. Now he's the chief executor of his own will. Wow, there's a twist, isn't there? Hallelujah. Woo, what a deal. We got, man, talk about having things stacked in our favor. Isn't that true? Begin to speak this over your life. Speak God's word. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Release all that believing you've got pent up in you. Man, you know what's in there. You know what's in it. Man, start saying some of that stuff. Speaking it out your mouth. Speak to the mountain. Declare what God has redeemed you from. Declare that you're a brand new creature. Declare who you are in Christ. Declare that the greater one's in you. God's at work in you. Hallelujah. I can't help but succeed. Amen. I had a teacher in Bible school who used to say this all the time. He said, you can't lose with the stuff you use. Isn't that true? As I'm fond of saying, I just double dog dare you. Do it. Begin. I mean, you start speaking this over your life and your circumstance, and I mean, inside of a week, let alone a month or a year, a week, you won't believe. You pinch yourself and say, wait a minute, who is this person? Where did I get this outlook? Where did I get this courage and this boldness? Where did I get this peace and joy? Where did I get this confidence? Woo! You releasing life. My words are spirit and they are life. Life and death, Proverbs 18:20. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This will be our next lesson. We're going to talk about the power of the tongue. James says it's like a rudder on a ship. You turn the rudder, you turn the ship. You get control of this thing, you can get control of what? He said, of your whole life. Wow. You know, instead of running around fighting all these brush fires, you need to just draw back, get the wisdom of God, and say, God, teach me how to tame this tongue. James talked about it. We'll talk about it next week. Amen. All right. Scotty, why don't you come? Anybody that would like to give, we just want to give you an opportunity to give tonight before we pray and dismiss you and let you go. Hallelujah. Trust you guys are getting some good things out of the Word. I'm enjoying it. I've read it and heard it and taught it many times, but every time I do it, boy, I'm telling you, something just jumps up and down on the inside of me. I love it. I love it. And I remind myself to speak it. You know what? Train yourself to speak it. You say, but I don't feel like it. Listen, your feelings will get better later. Speak it. Speak it. He's all right. Speak it. Yes, he is. I like that. That's right, son. Hallelujah. Are we ready there? Just trying to give you a minute to get ready. Hallelujah. Let's pray over it and we'll give and we'll let you go. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, may it be an abiding word. May it be a word that we will nourish and feed, and it will grow. This truth will grow in us. And Lord, above all, may we be doers. Lord, in the face of the wind and the waves, we're going to speak the word. In the face of adverse circumstance, we're going to speak the word. When everybody says it's all over, we're going to speak our faith. We're going to speak our faith. Lord, we're not going to call things that are as though they were. We're going to call things that be not as though they were. And Lord, as we give now, we thank you. We declare we're redeemed from lack and poverty. We're redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of lack. And the blessing of God is upon our finances. The blessing of God is upon our finances. We give this to you freely and lovingly in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as you release life and faith out your mouth, you find strength coming to you. Even in the midst of everything, strength comes to you. Man, you all of a sudden you bless God. You know, you get to a place where you can say, praise God, another trial, another test. Oh, man, I've been working out like Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. I'm going to flatten you. Amen. And you know, things that last year, boy, they were tough. This year, I'm going to plow through them. You know, we used to say this, you know, get boys in the schoolyard, you know, all those egos get to going. You know how that is. We used to tell people, listen, boy, I'll run over you going to a fight. So, you know, you tell that devil that test, man, I'm going to get to the place where my faith is strong in God. I'm going to be able to run over you looking for a fight. Isn't that right? All of us, we don't dread and fear and live that way. Man, we're like, man. Like he says over there in Proverbs, he said, like the bridegroom that come out, like a strong man ready to run a race. We're like, bring it on. We just running 25 miles, that's all we got. Instead of, hope it's not me. I don't want to run. Stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let God arise. How do we do it? Speak. Speak His word. He'll arise within you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that greater is He that is living in us than he that's in the world. And no matter what we face, oh God, no matter the mountain, faith is greater. No matter the circumstance, your word is greater. No matter what it is, all things are possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to rejoice like a strong man to run a race. We're going to give you all the glory for all the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.